Last night, fire virtually destroyed Joanne's home place. In the middle of the night, fire of an unexplained origin burned her vacant home. And I regret to have to announce that today. But yet there's peace in her storm, in the midst of her storm. She's been trying to sell that place for about 7 months and had a contract on it to sell it, a good contract. And now there's, you know, obviously will be some concern about the contract on the situation. Some other things going on in different people's lives throughout this congregation. I know in ministering among you that while she's got one storm, maybe a couple of storms, I guess, going in her life today, that you have a different storm perhaps going in your life. Your home didn't burn, but maybe something else going on in your life. I want to minister to you today a word of encouragement. I believe this will be encouragement for you. And before I get into that, let me just alert you to the Bible reading program that we're doing this year. In your bulletin today is an insert looking like this, and you are being invited to read through the Bible this year with me. And this is the schedule that we'll be using. Apparently, last Sunday morning, I confused you some in that you didn't know what day to start. And what I meant for you to do was to start last Monday. I said for you I had a little head start on you because I started on the first of the year. But because of the way we have the days, if you'll notice looking down, the days are numbered 1 through 6, and then we skip 7. And then we skip 14 and 21 and 28 and so on. That's to skip your Sunday. You need to be here on Sunday, and there's no reason why you can't read the Word privately on Sunday, but as far as our regular Bible reading program, we're going to skip that day, read it 6 days a week. And so you should have started last Monday. In your bulletin today, at the bottom of the inside first page, indicates the Bible reading for this week, which are days 8 through 13. That will show in there every Sunday morning so that you may see where you're to be. Now, if you're current with us, you will be reading tomorrow, day number 8. And through the rest of the week, you'll be reading through 13. And then the following Monday, the 15th, and so on until we complete the year. So you'll be at the beginning of next year, you will be a couple of years into 88 in order to complete your reading. The reason we did it this way was so that we could use the same program if it worked year after year, rather than trying to do it on the calendar, we do it on the basis of the number of days. I'm going to share with you today a revelation that the Lord gave me this week out of what we were reading. As I was thinking along the preparing the message for this morning, I thought, you know, maybe we'll just share the 3 or 4 or 5 different things that the Lord made alive to me this week. And I began to dig into the one, just to meditate on that more thoroughly. And I think that's all we're going to be able to do. Also in your bulletin today is a tract printed by Melody Green, an introduction by Melody Green. The article actually written by George Muller. And George Muller was a man who ran an orphanage in Great Britain a number of years ago. And he was a man that never asked for funds for his orphanage. He just made his daily request to the Lord, and the Lord always brought the supply in. And I thought this would be particularly meaningful to us as we are thinking about our devotions for this year and reading through the Word of God through the remainder of this year. If you're going to be reading with us, do keep this with you. Just take this out of the bulletin and tuck it in your Bible and just cross off the days as you read them. That way, folks that come in the middle of the year and perhaps are not able to go back and catch up with us can pick up where we are and begin to read with us, and then the early part of next year finish it up. That's the purpose behind that. I want to begin this morning in the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis, and so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I trust you do, you'll turn in them, please, with me to the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis. May I give you a word of encouragement while you're turning to join with us on Wednesday night as we study from the book of Job. I have come to learn over the years that the Lord provides for us what we need through the ministry of our daily bread here. And if you will give yourself to participation in the ministry of the Word of God that goes forth here, whether it comes from the pulpit or the lectern, whether it comes in the Sunday school or the church services or the Wednesday night Bible studies or Thursday morning in our ladies' Bible study and other activities which we have like that, if you will give yourself to that discipline, you will find that the Lord is providing you with the food you need. If you're not getting what you need, typically it's because you're not availing yourself of what is made ready there by the Lord. And I just know that there are a large number of our people who are struggling with difficulties and have been for some time. And the Lord wants to encourage us this morning and instruct us on Wednesday evening. The subject for today is the flood according to Noah. I'm not going to call it Noah's flood because it wasn't Noah's flood, but it was the flood according to Noah's experience. I'm going to begin to read in chapter 6 and verse 14. Maybe some of you noted these things as you were reading this week. "Make thee an ark of gopher wood," God instructed Noah. "Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it." Now, I want you to notice, before I read the 17th verse, at this point, Noah hasn't heard anything about a flood. At this point, all God said was that he was grieved because of the wickedness and the violence on the earth, and that he was going to destroy the earth. He did not say how. His instruction to Noah was to make an ark. And without Noah having any information at this point as to why he should make the ark, God said, "Make an ark, pitch it inside and out, make it certain dimensions." And after he had instructed him as to his preparation, then he told him why he would need it. It seems to me, as I read it, while the scriptures do not say expressly, it seems to me that in seeing how the Lord deals with me and how he deals with men in general, it seems that the Lord gives his instruction, and then once there is a decision of obedience, then he begins to give insight. And here in verse 17, he begins to give further insight. "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female." And so on, you'll remember the remainder of the instructions. Now, God has instructed Noah to prepare himself for a destruction which is about to come. He told him how to prepare himself, and that was to build an ark and to make it large enough for his family and also a certain number of animals that he wanted him to take on the ark. And then he gave him insight as to what was about to happen. He said there's a flood of waters going to come, and the flood of those waters, according to verse 17, are going to destroy everything that's on the earth. The idea here is, Noah, if you're still on the earth, it'll destroy you too. Now, I'm making provision for you so that you and yours do not suffer this destruction. And if you will be obedient to me and do what I've told you to do, you can escape the destruction. Now, let's go to the 7th chapter and begin to read in the 17th verse. And this is the verse and the passage that really struck me this week. I'd never seen it quite like this. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased. That is, the flood of waters increased and bare up the ark. And it was lift up above the earth. Now notice the phrase, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it lift up above the earth. Verse 18 says, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly on the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters, here it is again, prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the water prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And so God's judgment fell upon the wickedness into which his creation, his beloved creation, had fallen. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Now, notice these two things from the passage which I've just read. A flood of waters came upon the earth in the judgment of God to destroy all of that which was wicked and all of that which was violent and all of that which was evil. But did you notice that the very thing that brought destruction to the wicked brought deliverance to the righteous? And we'll say it again. The very element, the water, that brought destruction to the wicked actually was the means by which the righteous were delivered. For in verse 18 and 19, we're told that the waters prevailed. They prevailed greatly and they prevailed exceedingly on everything except that which was obedient to God. Verse 23 tells us that Noah only remained alive and they that were with him in the ark. Now, the thing that struck me as I was reading this passage this week was in the 17th verse. That as the waters increased, what did the waters do? They bear up the ark. That which destroyed everything evil, God used that very element, the very thing that was meant for destruction for that which was wicked, that very element was meant to deliver God's people. It was the water that protected them from the flood. Are you listening? Now, unfortunately, a great many Christians, seeing the water come, would curse the water. We would curse the water because we would anticipate the destruction. That which is coming, which appears to be destructive in your life, is not necessarily destructive if you're obedient to God. God will give you a means by which you may prepare yourself and a place where you can go to preserve yourself so that that which appears to be meant for destruction will be the very thing that liberates you. It was the water that bore up the ark, and it was the water that lift up the ark above the earth. Why did the ark need to be lifted up above the earth? Because the earth was in the process of being destroyed. Now, I could give you for the next several hours numerous hypotheses that might be practical applications for your own life. But let me give you just one, and perhaps this will give you a deposit upon which the Spirit of God may build in your own personal life. You're a man who loves God. You love Him very much. You want to serve Him. You're serving Him the best way you know how, but there are influences in your life that prevent you from giving yourself totally and completely to Him. Those influences are your dependence upon your employment and your dependence upon the valued opinion, high opinion of your co-workers. You don't know that, but God sees it. Your company goes bankrupt or moves to Kalamazoo and you're without a job. The very thing, you look at that and you say, oh God, how could this be? How could you let this happen to me? Lord, there's a flood coming. And that flood, the very thing, that situation in your life, the very thing that liberated you. Let me give you another example of how this works. And you never knew, you didn't know how it could be until afterwards. Daniel, book of Daniel, chapter number 3. Do you remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The three Hebrew young men with these new Babylonian names. You know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not their Hebrew names. These were names that were given to them by a pagan Babylonian king. The king had made a golden image, a golden idol. We don't know what that idol was. We assume it may have been an idol of himself, but we don't know that. And he required that every person bow down and worship that idol whenever they heard the musical call. These young Hebrew men refused to do so. So verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind, highlight the word bind, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, underline the words were bound, in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound, underline the word bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound, underline the word bound. Now that's 4 times. That the bondage of these three men, the binding of these three men is expressed here. Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose. Underline the word loose. Walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them. Now, the fire was meant to destroy them. But the fire only destroyed that which had them bound. It only burned the ropes. When the floods came, or the floods of water, the only thing that was destroyed were those that mocked Noah. That which was destroyed was that which made Noah's life miserable. Noah, however, had no effect from the water, nor his family. Why did Noah remain alive? Because he went into the ark. Now, I believe what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us is that nothing, 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 absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God nor from His wonderful purposes and plans for us. And no matter how threatening it may appear, and no matter how loud the noise in its coming, if we take advantage of God's plan for us and His preparation for us, if we will make the preparation that He tells us to make, then that which is meant to destroy will only destroy those things in our lives that are not good for us and not profitable and of no value, but are meant to destroy, trying to destroy us. And the very item of destruction, the very circumstance that we cry about, the very instrument which we see approaching, which appears to be so frightening, is that which, if viewed in the appropriate way and when proper preparation is made, it's that very thing that sets us at liberty. It's that very thing that bears us up so that we can be and do what God wants us to be and to do. Now, I realize that when you're looking at the flood coming, it is hard to say hallelujah for the flood. Praise God for the water. Hallelujah that my house is covered now. Glory to God that my farm is all underwater. Praise the Lord at all of this destruction I see round about me. But it's a lot, now listen to me, it is a lot easier to praise the Lord in that situation if you're in the ark than it is if you're standing on top of the house. Are you listening to me? You got to get in the ark. If you're in the ark, you see, the water has no power on you. Now, what kind of an ark was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in? They were in a five-letter ark. F-A-I-T-H is the name of the ark they were in. You understand what I'm saying? They believed in their God. And so it should be with us. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 24. These are Jesus' instructions to us. Matthew 24, and reading here, verse 37. You must do what God has commanded you to do in order to get into the ark. But as the days of Noah were, Jesus said, talking about the end days. Now, he's talking about the days in which we live. He says, just like the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What's it going to be like when Jesus comes? It'll be just like it was in Noah's day. The wicked will not make preparation for that time. The wicked will not heed any warnings. The wicked will mock and scoff, and that's exactly what they did. If you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter number 3, we see what happened. In the days, we don't see it in Genesis, but we see it here in Peter. What happened in the days of Noah? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, talking about the wicked in Noah's time, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. What was God waiting for? What was he waiting for? Yes, he was waiting for the ark to be built for Noah, But what else was he waiting for, according to the long-suffering of God? For men to repent and take advantage of the ark. God didn't want to destroy the entire earth. It was not a great delight to him to see that terrible suffering and torment. To preserve any righteousness, it was a must. It had to be done. Can you imagine an entire earth that had only 8 souls in it that were right? Can you imagine living in a time when there would be only one man and his 3 sons and their 4 wives that would be worthy of deliverance? Can you imagine living in an age like that? We think the times are wicked today, and it's nothing in comparison to this kind of time. Noah only found grace in the sight of the Lord. The long-suffering of God, his long patience, waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by or through or in the water. Actually, the word by is better translated there, through the water. It was the destructive force of the water that saved Noah and his family. Well, what is the ark? How can we get in the ark? What is our ark? I believe our ark is faith in Jesus Christ. And not just saving faith. I'm talking about a confident, trusting faith for our daily living. That's the ark. Faith is the ark. John said it a little differently in 1 John 5. He said, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the ark that overcomes the flood, is the way we would say it in light of what we're sharing here this morning. In John 3:16, Jesus said that whosoever believeth on him should not be taken away in the flood, but should have eternal life and have it abundantly. In John 5:24, perhaps you'd turn to that passage with me. Familiar verse, I believe, to most of us. John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath deliverance from the flood, shall not come into destruction by the flood, but is passed from the flood to deliverance and life. And in Revelation 3:10, we hear the words of Jesus to the end time church. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation or trial or flood, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. You see, Christians, genuine believers, do not fear the wrath of God, do not fear judgment upon the earth, do not fear the flood, do not fear destruction as it appears to come. For if we genuinely believe that God has the whole world in his hands, then how can it hurt us? And so the house burns down. It's one less thing I have to worry about. Long as it's on the ground, I don't have to heat it, and I don't have to insure it, and I don't have to clean it. Now, let's not anybody go home and torch their houses. But see, that's not natural to think that way. For anybody other than someone who's in the ark. See, if you're in the ark, then it doesn't make any difference. Are you listening? But if you're not in the ark, it'll matter to you. Do you hear me? If it matters to you, you better find the ark and get in it. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Glory be to the Lord on high. Praise his name. You want to sing with me a bit? Sing a spiritual song. Just lift up your voice to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making Jesus to us a hiding place, that in Him we live and move and have our being, and when we're in Him, we are hidden from the destruction and the distress that passes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making Him a refuge for those who